This is the Podium Finish Live from Austin, Texas, and various points across the country. Here's your host, Rob Johnson.
And a good day to everyone out there. Thank you for tuning in to the Podium Finish Live. I'm your host, Rob Johnson, a motorsports journalist based out of Austin, Texas, since 2008. I'm very glad that you could be joining us for another jam-packed edition of TPF Live, the fastest hour of racing talk you can find on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any other podcast platform that you go to on a daily basis. This is episode number 14 of TPF Live since our reboot back in October. So yes, I would say we're really flying along here on this program. And speaking of flying along, that's exactly what the topic of this show is going to be in terms of our special guest that's going to be joining us here toward the back half of the show. But we are closing in on a new NASCAR season with the Busch Light Clash just right around the corner. And of course, in the IMSA side of things, we've got the Rolex 24 that's just around the corner as well, with the Roar Before Daytona also on tap. So for those of you who have been craving for some motorsports action, it's really, really fast approaching. So I'm hoping that these podcasts are carrying you through and giving you some hope that, yes, once February comes, we're not going to worry about the Super Bowl. We're going to worry about the Daytona 500, the Super Bowl of NASCAR. Or in some cases, you might be worrying about the Super Bowl if you happen to be a fan of the remaining teams as of this moment. I'm not, so I don't really care right now. But let's actually get back on track here because I want to get things moving along. And first, let me introduce my good buddy and our good co-host here, Nathan Solomon, who he has gotten through his first week of the spring 2022 semester at our campus, St. Bonaventure University. Nathan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm tired, but I'm doing well. I just came back from, you know, recording this at noon on Saturday, or at least noon my time. I just got back literally almost like a few hours ago from Pittsburgh, going to a basketball game, covering the Bonnies for a big win down there. Got back at like 2 a.m, but I'm getting through it with a cup of coffee, and I'm ready to talk some racing.
As am I. And that sounds like you've been doing kind of like a marathon stint. Maybe you should be going down to Daytona for the Rolex 24 if you've got that much energy to get things turned around really quickly. But yeah, I'm glad to have you back on as always.
Hey, round trip was 460 miles. That's almost a Daytona 500. So,
well, we'll call it a Daytona 500 with a rain shortened circumstance in this case. But I don't know if it's going to be rained up in the New York area. More like cold and snow or ice.
It was negative 15 out. So yeah, that's our condition there.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'm good keeping the all that stuff where I used to live, and claiming that 30s and 40s are my cold what temperatures. So. Yeah, I'm ready to get rolling around on this program today, just because we've got a great show on the horizon with Alex Bowman joining us for this latest hot seat interview today. I've been hinting at it basically for the last few weeks. And if you listen to episode number 12, I was basically saying something like, you could say this driver is a friend of ours, or a synonym for friend. And surely enough, our good friend Alex Bowman will be here to talk about his racing efforts for this year, and a couple of new partner that's going to be joining him as well, that I'm really looking forward to having him talk about for our first real interview of 2022. So stay tuned for that as we get to that portion of the show. And speaking of our show, if you've not listened to TPF Live, I won't shame you this time, but I hope you folks at home or wherever you are do listen in consistently. Let's talk about the format really quickly. So we typically have a plethora of topics, podium perspectives, in which we talk about the latest happenings in NASCAR and other forms of motorsports, sometimes like IndyCar, IMSA, ARCA, anything that catches our attention, we're going to talk about. And really just kind of see where the conversation rolls along. Kind of think of it like ESPN's Pardon the Interruption with Michael and Tony back in the day. And yeah, we're going to have a good time with that. And then, of course, we have the hot seat interview with Alex Bowman. And typically, it's a driver or a personality in NASCAR, IndyCar, or other motorsports series. So will definitely have as many interesting folks to be on that particular seat on our program. Just try to imagine that it's not so hot in a more comfortable chair, but not like the dentist, because I don't think any of us like the dentist. Sorry, folks that are in that industry. So anyways, before we get rolling along here, let's talk about a neat way that you can save on money and also get some nice diecast cars. So 2022's NASCAR season, it's just coming along really quickly here. Now I know that most of the 2022 offerings for your favorite drivers or teams are not going to be available till about June, July, and August, but you can always pre-order those cars. And let me tell you, if you do so, and you know Brendan and his team at Circle B Diecast Sales have those cars on hand, then you can save on shipping by using promo code TPF2022. This promo code applies when you're going to purchase in-stock items of $20 or more, or on any pre-order items of $20 or more. So use promo code TPF2022 and tell Brendan the gang at CircleBDiecast.com that Rob Tiongson and Nathan Solomon sent you so that you can get your shopping done and accessorize your office or just be a total nerd like me. So CircleBDiecast.com and use promo code TPF2022 to get free shipping on purchases of $20 or more. Well, ladies and gents, let's get to it. I've done my little spiel about how you can get free shipping, but let's actually ship along to Podium Perspectives. And we've got a lot of ground to cover here, even though it's still the off season. So let's actually get to it right now. So on Friday evening, NASCAR Hall of Fame welcomed in new inductees Dale Earnhardt Jr., modified driver, the late Mike Stefanik, and all-around motorsports stock car luminary, Red Farmer. And it's great to have them around. You know, I would say each of these gentlemen contributed to NASCAR in some form or fashion that warranted their induction into the NASCAR Hall of Fame. So Nathan and I and the team at the Podium Finish, we were talking all about this week. And, you know, we could make a case for each of these drivers being in the Hall of Fame. But let's actually have a little bit of fun playing devil's advocate, if you will. So Nathan's going to give his opinions here, and I'll try to chime in when I can. So, you know, congrats to Dale Earnhardt Jr. and the Stefanik family and Red Farmer on, you know, making it to the Hall of Fame. But Nathan, we kind of talked a little bit on the opposite end of this. Which of these drivers, let me backtrack a bit. Which driver is currently not in the Hall of Fame should be inducted? And then do you think there's a case for these new inductees to not to be in this year's class?
So, yeah, this is something we're talking about a lot this week. But and the guy for me that comes right to mind is Carl Edwards. You know, Carl was – I know he certainly didn't have the longest Cup Series career of – you know, of all time. I think, you know, he was only racing full time in Cup for 11 seasons before he decided to step away. But I mean, if a few little things kind of fell each way in each of, you know, certain seasons, he could like easily have 3 or 4 championships, which is like crazy to think because, you know, he's never won a championship. Like 2008, he finished runner up to Jimmy Johnson. 2011, he loses from a tiebreaker to Tony Stewart. And that was with the old like chase format too, where so many more points could be earned in each race. And so like a tiebreaker seemed like, or like a tie seemed near impossible. And I think Carl just lost on virtue of not having as many wins. In 2016, he had the race won before a late race caution. And then he got kind of wrecked by Joey Logano there on that last restart, whether, you know, it was intentional or not, I don't think we'll ever know, but yeah, my point, he could have easily 3 championships. He's won 28 times in the Cup Series. He's won 38 times in the Xfinity Series. I believe he's won an Xfinity Series championship. So like those are some pretty impressive, pretty, you know, Hall of Fame caliber numbers. He's won, you know, crown jewel races before. He's very versatile, like on, you know, everywhere he goes, he can win. He can win road courses, you know, short tracks, big tracks. He has won super speedways before, is always contended up there. But that's the guy that comes to mind for me. I think that he had, you know, maybe the most impressive career of, you know, comparing to even the three guys that got nominated into the Hall of Fame this year. So, you know, it kind of disappointed me that that Carl hasn't gotten in yet. Like, he won 9 times in 2018 or 2008, which is crazy. You know, like he won 9 times that year, and Jimmy won like about the same amount of times. Like, it was the Jimmy and Carl show that year. And that was actually the first year I'd really gotten into NASCAR too. So that like really caught my eye as like a 6-year-old too. So I'm a huge advocate of getting Carl Edwards into the Hall of Fame. He should be back on the ballot next year. He's back on the ballot, or he was originally on the ballot once eligible. So I think he will get in. I hope he will get in, because he's very deserving of it, in my opinion.
He's definitely one of those drivers who you just kind of scratch your head about and go, hey, how come he's not even in? And, you know, like you've mentioned, he has been so close to winning the championship on 3 occasions. I would even give it 4 occasions, because in 2005, when he was technically a rookie, but because he ran too many races in 2004, NASCAR didn't deem him a rookie. I'd say in 2005, he had a good case as any besides Greg Biffle and Tony Stewart to win the championship. And the thing that amazes me, too, is that he did so well with two different organizations, where you'll see other drivers who kind of hop about to other teams, and they may not have that consistent success that someone like Carl Edwards enjoyed in his career. And he, like you said, he was pretty young when he called it quits. I think he was about 35, like mid-30s, when he decided that was it for him, which is a shame, because I think he still had plenty of moments on the track that he could have realized at age 37. But maybe he will be in the Hall of Fame next year. I'm going to make an argument for Handsome Harry Gantz. Now, he's a driver before your time, but I wouldn't call him a Carl Edwards type driver. But when it came to winning races on a yearly basis, he just got it done. And the amazing part was he was winning in his early 50s. I mean, that's like Tom Brady right now in the NFL doing some crazy stuff out there in his mid-40s. But good old Harry Gantz, he did so much great things with the number 33 Leo Jackson team. I certainly remember his 4-in-a-row winning streak in the September of 91 races, and nearly won a 5th one at North Wilkesboro before some issues happened with the O-ring of his car and let Dale Earnhardt Sr. win that year's race at North Wilkesboro. Maybe we'll talk about that here, or on a different program, by the way. But anyway, I think Harry Gantz would be a good case for that. Congrats to all the Hall of Famers that have been inducted. I mean, Hall of Fame inductees, rather, that are in the class this past few years, because I know the COVID-19 pandemic kind of delayed things a bit, but happy to have them all immortalized in Stock Cars Hallowed Grounds in Charlotte, and definitely a great place to visit if you are in town for a race weekend or just in general. So give it a look-see, ladies and gents. And let's go move on to our second topic here, which not really a surprising story if you kind of read between the lines or observe things really closely with this particular driver and team. But, you know, Ryan Vargas is going to be back with JD Motorsports full time. And certainly he did a lot of great things with JD Motorsports last year and the year before. You know, I think we talked about this on a recent show, how JD Motorsports seems to have this penchant to recruit these great, like, diamond in the rough type drivers who are just waiting for their opportunities in NASCAR. You know, Ross Chastain and Landon Cassill being a couple of drivers that come to mind for me. But Nathan, you know, with Vargas back at JD Motorsports, and it's pretty clear that this team is now in a sort of transition year with Bailey Curry and the other team's car, you know, so far with this duo, what can they do with this underdog team? Can we expect some surprising things out of Vargas and with Curry?
Yeah, I think so. I think they both have a lot of talent. They obviously just haven't gotten that big opportunity yet. I mean, they're both kind of sort of have this reputation of making the best out of, I guess, lower equipment. I mean, you kind of look at Vargas. I mean, he ran 8th at Texas in 2020, like, and in equipment probably far worse than 8th. Like, and it's not like, you know, he's at Talladega or Daytona in a draft or something, you finish 8th. Like, you know, like he drove it to 8th. Like, So I think that says a lot about his talent. Like, the talent's there. So I'm excited to see what they do. I think hopefully Vargas will have funding for all 33 races this year. Unfortunately, last year, a couple things kind of fell through for him, where I think like four of the last five road course races or something, he wasn't able to be in the car, including like Road America, Watkins Glen, Indianapolis, I think, but don't quote me on that. But yeah, hopefully he can find that funding for all 33 races, and he can contend to have a good year. I'd love to maybe see if he could try to get top 20 in points. I think last year he kind of got off to a tough start, had some bad luck, you know, some mechanical issues. So hopefully if he can kind of get some of those things straightened away, and have a little bit more consistency, have top 20, 25 speed, he can have a decent year, and same as Curry in the other car. So we don't really know JD Motorsports' plans besides those two drivers, if they're going to field more cars, or if they're going to have a rotation of drivers to field the third car, or whatever they're going to do. But they seem to always find a fair mix of drivers that, you know, have underrated potential to try to get the most out of their cars. Hey, they're missing one of their guys now because Landon Castle is with Colleague Racing. So they're going to have a hold of Hill there, because Castle is probably by far their best driver. Now, you know, he's got the opportunity. The big opportunity he's been looking for. So hopefully Vargas and Curry can I guess soon be next on the list of JD Motorsports call-ups, if you will.
It's kind of like being a comedian on SNL when you get that call from Lord Michaels to be on that famous NBC troupe. And, you know, if you stand out, do a good job, make the audience laugh, you know, you could probably find yourself on a TV show or a movie of your own. So, you know, Landon Castle, of course, like you mentioned, he's got the opportunity of a lifetime with Colleague Racing this year. And, you know, if Curry and Vargas certainly parlay some consistent, respectable finishes, achieve more than what the cars can do at JD Motorsports, then I think they're going to do a pretty solid job and maybe try to flirt with one of those final playoff positions, just because we also have to consider the fact that Team Penske is not going to be racing in the Xfinity Series this year. So kind of opens things up a little bit more for those mid-tier teams, sort of those underfunded underdog teams that we pay so close attention to in the Xfinity Series. And another thing I wanted to say too is maybe for the best for JD Motorsports to sort of downsize their efforts. So that way here, they can focus on getting the best out of their two drivers versus having like a plethora or a repertoire of different drivers that, you know, they have to kind of get to know, adjust for their equipment, and maybe not get the best finish because they rotate a different driver in. So yeah, we don't know if they're going to have other drivers in a third or fourth entry, but I'd say with these two entries they've got right now, these are two young drivers who are definitely capable of doing some remarkable, respectable things in their cars. So can't wait to see what they do starting next month at Daytona. And gosh, Daytona is going to be pretty awesome as it is, because we now know who is going to be in Colleague Racing's number 16 car for the Daytona 500. Now, a lot of folks beforehand were thinking it's going to be AJ Allmendinger. Of course it's AJ Allmendinger. You know, he's your veteran driver. He knows how to get things done. He's won in Cup twice now. But lo and behold, Kannapolis, North Carolina's Daniel Hemric, the defending NASCAR Xfinity Series champion, is going to be back in the Cup Series, at least for this particular race, as the driver of the number 16 Colleague Racing entry in the Daytona 500. Now, Daniel Hemric all of a sudden finds himself in a position where he could win and sweep the Xfinity and Cup races at Daytona. Heck of a way to be kind of coronated and get your activity started as a defending Xfinity Series champion. But, you know, Hemric certainly can do amazing things with the Cup entry for Colleague Racing. But Nathan, you know, if last year, I would say Daniel Hemric's chances of being in Cup almost seemed slim to none, even though he was with Joe Gibbs Racing. But now he's with Colleague Racing as the reigning Xfinity Series champion, certainly showing his worth as a driver who can win in Xfinity. All of a sudden, do you think he's got a chance to win not only the Daytona 500, but even the Xfinity season opener?
Yeah, for sure. Like, up before he won the Xfinity Series Championship, remember, he never won a NASCAR race. So when he comes back out to the track in February, I mean, he's going to come out as the Xfinity Series champion and now finally a NASCAR race winner. So, I mean, his confidence is going to be through the roof. So I expect that, like, you know, of course he'll contend in races in the Xfinity Series. I'm sure he'll win races in the Xfinity Series this year, but also Cup. So the announcement of him driving the 16 car for Colleague in the 500 wasn't a huge surprise. AJ, I know he doesn't, not a huge super speedway fan. So he's only going to race the super speedway races he has to. And, you know, they're splitting the 16 along with Noah Gragson, who I believe he's going to get the most races out of the three, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's going to get 14. And that could include him possibly running all four super speedway races with Beard Motorsports in the 62. That's where he's running the Daytona 500. I don't know if their plans are been announced yet for the other three super speedway races, but you know, they that's typically a super speedway only team for Beard Motorsports, that is. So I expect maybe he'll run the last three races as well. So you kind of see, you know, Noah in a situation there where he's driving nearly half of the Cup Series schedule. But you know, you talk about Hemric and AJ and Gragson splitting that ride, though, like, you know, they're teammates, but like at the same time, they're kind of like they could kind of be competing for that ride full time next year. I mean, Hemric would love to get back to the Cup Series full time. AJ said if they asked him to get to drive Cup Series full time again, he would. And Gragson's looking for his first full time Cup opportunity. So, like, you know, they'll be sharing the car, but at the same time, they'll be competing against each other for the best results, because you never know whoever does the best in that car. They could be getting that car full time next in 2023, and no better place to start than a great opportunity in the Daytona 500 to show that you can contend in the pack, show that you can have a chance to win the race and bring Colleague Racing home a trophy. So it's a big opportunity for Hemric if he wants to get back into Cup full time, because, you know, if he, I guess, is off his guard, then someone like Noah Gragson could snatch that ride. But Colleagues showed their want to be a Cup Series team. They have two full-time Cup Series cars now. They could go to more down the road. So something to keep an eye on now with this, I guess, revitalized bunch there racing for Colleague this year.
You know, they take the definition of trophy hunting to a new level, because it's not just about trying to get Matt Colleague and Chris Rice a chance at the trophy when Justin Haley may not be in contention. But like you said, this is an audition car almost, because I'm sure Daniel Hemric, you know, there's no shame in being an Xfinity lifer if that's going to be his fate. But I'm sure he's not just racing in Xfinity thinking, okay, I've won the Xfinity championship, that's all I want to ever accomplish. I want to get back to the Cup, I'm sure, is what he's thinking. And Noah Gragson, you know, he certainly showcased the reason why Junior Motorsports loves having him in that number 9 car, and what he possibly could do in a Cup car once he gets everything kind of polished together and not always pick a fight all the time against different drivers. So, you know, he's certainly an intriguing driver to watch when he makes his starts in the Colleague entry. And when he's with the Beard Motorsports car, he typically does a respectable job in their equipment. And then the wild card on all of that is AJ Allmendinger. You know, and I've interviewed him last year. He seemed pretty content to stick around in Xfinity. And like you said, Nathan, like, he would be all right to be doing some races for Colleague in the Cup Series when warranted. But I'm sure in the back of his mind, if Colleague Racing was like, hey, AJ, we really think you're the guy that's going to be the full-time driver in Cup for this number 16 ride, would you be game for it? And I'm pretty sure, just knowing AJ and knowing what they can do when they won that race at Indianapolis last year, he would probably give it a serious, serious thought to be back in Cup. So that trio of drivers is going to be the most competitive in terms of the internal conflicts that may be on tap for this year for Colleague. But I'm sure Chris and Matt will keep all of them focused at the task at hand. And with Daniel Hemric driving in the Daytona 500, I think he's going to give a good chance for another Kannapolis, North Carolina driver to win in the Great American Race. So another cool storyline to watch and an already cool season that has yet to start. But we're getting closer to the start of the season, as I keep mentioning on the show. And I know we talk a lot about testing. I promise that Nathan and I are not like professors at St. Bonaventure University that are trying to subject our students to more tests, but NASCAR is going to have an organizational test this coming week at Phoenix Raceway. And based on the entry, well, not entry list, but the testing lineup that Fox NASCAR's Bob Pockers posted for the test sessions on Tuesday and Wednesday, we know that basically all of the charter teams except for Spire Motorsports, Rick Ware Racing, and Live Fast Motorsports will not be there. But we can expect Ross Chastain and Daniel Suarez in Trackhouse's entry, the duo of Ryan Blaney and Joey Logano, Penske's veteran drivers in that particular entry, and then Richard Childress Racing is going to have their duo of Tyler Reddick and Austin Dillon. Stewart Haas Racing will have Kevin Harvick and Chase Briscoe. And then for Hendrick, theirs is kind of a unique schedule where Kyle Larson will drive the cars, their car rather, on Tuesday and Wednesday morning, with Bowman there all of Tuesday in their second car, whereas William Byron will only be there for Wednesday afternoon. And it looks like Elliott will be there for all of Wednesday for them. Roush Fenway Keselowski, or RFK Racing, still getting used to saying that. Chris Buescher will be there solely for Tuesday, with Brad Keselowski manning that car for Wednesday. And then the Gibbs bunch, they have Kyle Busch and Martin Truex for both days. Colic Racing, who we just talked about, Daniel Hemric and Justin Haley will be driving their entries over there. And then the Wood Brothers, they're going to split that car with Austin Cindric on Tuesday and Harrison Burton, their full-time driver, in there for Wednesday. And then 2311 with Kurt Busch on Tuesday, Bubba Wallace on Wednesday. The new Hesburgh team that I was able to watch in person at the track at the Roval when they made their announcement, they're going to have Hesemans in their car for both days. I hope I didn't say that name incorrectly. And then Front Row Motorsports, they'll have Michael McDowell on there for Tuesday with Todd Gilliland on Wednesday. And then to round things up, Petty GMS has both drivers with Eric Jones and Ty Dillon in their cars. And then for JTG Doherty Racing, it's just their pilot, Ricky Stenhouse, since they don't have that second entry anymore. So it almost sounds like I just read off an entry list for a race, but it's just a test session. But it's exciting, Nathan. I'm kind of curious. Like you said before we started recording the show today, that this is the only short track session, if you will, that these drivers and teams are going to have. So just how critical will it be, no matter if you're a Hendrick driver or a JTG Doherty Racing driver like Stenhouse, to log these minutes on the track and get all the notes you can, given how limited on-track time will be before qualifying in the race?
Yeah, it'll be big. Like, it's kind of an unfortunate situation that, like, with the weather and everything, because, it's winter, that they have to go, like, all the way to the West Coast to test a short track when, like, Richmond and Bristol and Martinsville are only a few hours away. But obviously they can't do that because it's snowed again in North Carolina last night. So you got to go out west. It's a big test because, that's your championship anyway, right there. B, you got to figure out, I guess, information for a short track tire, which they've been working on. And C, you got to see how this new package runs on short tracks and just get more seat time in these new cars and something that a lot of these drivers haven't been on yet, which, again, is a short track. Looking at this, I guess, entry list, if you will, something that's kind of interesting is most of these organizations, even organizations with more than two drivers, really only seem to be bringing one car, except for maybe Hendrick, as all four drivers are going. Looks like maybe they'll have two cars. But it's kind of interesting because of the whole part shortage and everything, and, teams not having as many cars prepared as they like. So, as a result of that, they're having to take less cars out there with them. These organizations are only going to take one. They're not going to test two at the same time. They probably won't have a backup if something goes wrong. Like if it crashes, they're just going to, go home or fix it there if they can. So we'll see what happens. It'll be live streamed. It'll be kind of fun to watch, see what restarts look like there. Cause I'm sure they're going to have to try to get in the pack eventually and get a little bit racy. other observations, I guess, from this list of drivers. Bubba Wallace is finally testing. That's good to see for him. He was kind of sidelined for a little while with some off-season shoulder injury. And another thing that I'm kind of looking at is Team Hesberg. They said that they're only going to run road course races. And then all of a sudden they're testing at Daytona and they're going to run the Daytona 500. Now they're testing at Phoenix. So like, what does that mean? Are they going to be running 20 races this year when they thought they were only going to run the 6 road course races? So I think that's something to really watch out for, because, for a part-time team, they've sure been going to a lot of these different tests. So I'm interested to see if there'll be any announcement or any news coming from that team in the near future.
Yeah, that's a great team that I think is going to do more than what we anticipated. When I was at the press conference at the Roval Race weekend, kicking the tires, Egert, he was mentioning just how deeply pocketed the Hesberg team is. So that could be one reason why we're going to see them at more races than they had announced. And certainly for Daytona, with their case, having an F1 champion like Jack Villeneuve in their car to try to make his first Daytona 500 start, despite, not being a young spring chicken in that car, I still think he is capable of doing some amazing things at the age of 50. The fact that, he raced in the NASCAR Euro Series last year, and I think he won some races in that division, it still shows that that Canadian driver is very capable of being very competitive in NASCAR and maybe doing more than what we've anticipated. But I'm going to be interested to see what will happen. You mentioned about restarts that they probably will try to do and the parts shortage. I'm just curious to see how many of those drivers are willing to go below that dog leg and get crazy heading into turn one like we do, what we saw in the championship race last fall. Maybe we'll see that risk versus reward situation that we talked about on a recent show and see some interesting action on those restarts. And just the fact that, yeah, these hauler drivers are going to get a lot of work already, going from the East Coast where it snowed in to going to the West Coast and then having to go back and then go back to the West Coast for this LA Coliseum race that I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about in these next 2 weeks. This is going to be a crazy time in NASCAR, but a good time for all, to say the least. Well, folks, that is the latest edition of Podium Perspectives for this week. And if you like the topics that we talked about, have some different opinions than ours, then certainly tweet to us at The Podium Finish, or directly at me at Rob Tiongson, or with Nathan at NSolly02. And if you have any suggested topics or any questions you'd like for us to answer over the air or on our podcast, again, tweet to us at The Podium Finish, at Rob Tiongson, and at NSolly02. And we'll do our best to attend to your questions during a show. And if we choose our your topic on the show, we'll let you know so that you can tune in and brag about it to your family and friends. So another way that we're going to try to interact with you race fans as the year kicks off for this season. Let's move things along here with our third segment, which of course is In the Hot Seat. I'm really excited about this one, and I know, folks, you're getting ready for this year, just like the drivers and teams are, despite the fact that this is going to be a very long but exciting season. There's so many changes in NASCAR with the next-gen car, the new tires that are going to be used, one lug nuts, different racetracks. I mean, this is not your dad's NASCAR. It may not even be your older brother's NASCAR anymore. This is a young person's NASCAR now. But it's still NASCAR. And one of those young drivers who's raring to get back on the track is Alex Bowman, the driver of the number 48 Chevrolet Camaro ZL1. Now, just a few days ago this week, I caught up with Alex to get his thoughts on what he's going to take away from last year and what he'll try to apply into this year. His car's new distinct look, and it's not white, it's champagne colored. So that's what Alex said to me, at least. You'll hear that very shortly. And he's got a new partner that's going to be joining his efforts this year. So it's not your typical how's the car interview, but more just kind of catching up and getting to hear from Alex before the year kicks off. And so Alex will be the first in-season interview that we have for this year. So before we hear from Alex, I'm sure Nathan's got some thoughts about Alex. Now, Alex was the second most winningest driver for the Hendrick drivers last year with those four victories at Richmond, Dover, and also at Pocono and at Martinsville. But, you know, I'm sure he and his number 48 team with crew chief Greg Ives, they want to get more consistent top running finishes, which I know they're capable of doing. But, you know, will we see even better results from Alex this year?
Yeah, I mean, Alex Bowman kind of had a really weird year last year when you think about it. Like, he won, he started off the year winning at Richmond, and I remember him saying that Richmond has always not been a good track for him, and he goes out and wins Richmond. Wins at Dover, a place that Hendrick's always pretty good at. And so he has a couple early wins, and then he's handed a win basically at Pocono from the Kyle Larson tire situation, which is pretty crazy because I was there. Like, that was nuts. I didn't even realize like what had happened until like Bowman was like at the start finish line after the cool down lap getting checkered flag. It's like, what? But then after that happened, you know, he kind of fell off the face of the NASCAR there for a little while, like between Pocono and really Martinsville when he won for the fourth time. The 48 team, you know, they really struggled. Like, they limped into the round of 12, basically just off of playoff points. And they couldn't advance, you know, any further. I mean, obviously if they're able to advance the round of 8, he would have been in the championship with winning at Martinsville. But the first half of the year, the 48 team looked like a championship contending team. So see if he can get back to that in 2022, because if he can keep that first half 2021 form throughout the whole year, then I mean, I don't think Alex Bowman's a driver anyone wants to see in the championship, because he can go out and win it, because he's showing some short track success too. So if he can find that consistency, then, you know, Bowman could be one of the drivers to beat this year in the Cup Series.
Certainly. I agree with you for sure, Nathan, just because Alex was capable of getting things done at most any tracks. I mean, it's impressive that he got that win at Richmond, where the Hendrick cars in general were not running really well, and he was able to snag a victory at that track against the Gibbs boys. And then he kind of became the new closer, if you will. And Alex is not exactly a big fan of the nickname, the showman moniker. So if folks, before we start the interview, I'm sure if you have any fun suggested nicknames for him, you can certainly let us know, and we'll try to pass it along to Alex. But let's get actually to it. Let's hear from Alex as he gets to sit in the hot seat for the first time this year. So ladies and gents, grab a popcorn, some water, whatever safe beverage and snack you have. We're going to get comfortable with the hot seat with Alex Bowman right here, right now on TPF Live. Take it away, Alex.
Well, Alex, thanks for joining me for another interview with the Podium Finish and your first stint on the Podium Finish Live podcast. I hope the offseason has treated you very well, and I'm sure you're getting ready for the start of this year. Now, you're coming off a great season where you got 4 wins and you got your 4th playoff appearance in a row since joining Hendrick. So first of all, how pumped up are you about the success of your team last year heading into this year?
Yeah, definitely was a solid year for us last year. Obviously still looking for a little bit more consistency, but to have 4 wins, it was a great year. So just trying to make the most out of next year, obviously, or this year. There's so many things, so many variables that we don't know how things are going to happen, just with the new car and new surfaces on racetracks and stuff like that. So just trying to be the most prepared I can be, excited and ready to go.
Certainly, because it's not your typical transition from an off season into a new season where you have the same basic car, but some few rules changes. This is a completely new year for everybody all across the board. So, I mean, you've got those 4 wins to, you know, take pride in from last year, but I'm sure there were some areas of opportunities that you, Greg, and the entire team are thinking about heading into this year. So what are some things that you're looking to build off of last year in terms of a season that your entire organization won 47% of the races last year?
Yeah, for sure. Just trying to find that consistency is the biggest thing for us. I feel like, you know, we thought we were in a place at the end of 20 that we found it, and obviously had a great playoff run there. But then as we went into 21, just really struggled to be consistent from week to week. Obviously, feel like we can close out races, and if we have an opportunity to win, we're probably going to pull it off. But I feel like, you know, just having that consistent top five speed every week was something that we struggled with. So trying our best to improve upon that. And like, obviously, like you said, the new car is going to shake everything up so much. We don't really know what to expect. So had a little more testing than normal this off season. Still got some to go, but definitely looking forward to getting the season started. And doesn't really feel like it's been an off season. We've been so busy, but it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was about to say, this has not been your typical off season, because you've been pretty busy in it, you know, on your own, not just with testing and obviously the content heading into this year, but you did the Chili Bowl this past weekend, which I'm sure was a really electric atmosphere. So let's talk a little bit about that experience, because you've certainly made some progress with that this year and nearly got into the main show. So, you know, what were your thoughts about this past weekend's Chili Bowl, and are you planning to do more of these races in the future?
Yeah, I think for me, the Chili Bowl is one of my favorite weeks of the year. It's such a great atmosphere. The amount of people in one building is pretty crazy. So it's a ton of fun. I went there with way more focus on the two other cars on my team than my own car. You know, they're both really great race car drivers, and they do that all year. So for me, it had been a couple of years since I had run the Chili Bowl or driven a midget. So went in with low expectations and had a solid run. The other two cars were really good as well. So had a lot of fun. It was really cool to have Ally on board. They really embraced that event. It was so awesome to see. They had a booth, they had signage everywhere. They had like rally towels that they were throwing around everywhere. They had t-shirt cannons. They almost knocked the sprinkler off the top of the building, which was going to be really bad. So we had to put the t-shirt cannons away. But yeah, it was just such a great time to have them embrace that event. And it's one of my favorite events of the year. It takes some recovery afterwards, but it's a really good time.
Hey, it's all well worth it. I mean, you've got to have a little bit of fun during the year in addition to your day job with the 48 team. So that sounds like a lot of fun that you and Ally had with your team. And you know, speaking of Ally, you've got a really sharp looking car for this year, and I really love how different it looks compared to last season. So, you know, the Ally number 48 team just keeps cranking out these amazing paint schemes. I'm just kind of curious as to how much input you had with this year's paint scheme.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, you know, I was really involved last year and still pretty involved this year, but last year we were going through like tons of different ones and kind of back and forth and back and forth. And this year, I don't think there was like as much back and forth. So I really like it. It looks really good. I'm convinced they copied my midget paint schemes from before, because we had those done before the cup car, and then the cup car is pretty similar. But it's really cool. I think it's a great looking car. I really like that color, that dark champagne color. I think a lot of people think it's just white, but it's not. You know, in person, it's a way different color. So it's really cool to see. And I think it's cool that Ally kind of lets me and Greg be involved in that as much as they do. So definitely really enjoy that.
I'd say they're doing things right to collaborate with you and your team. And, you know, certainly speaking on the theme of champagne and, you know, adult beverages, you know, you've got a really cool partner that's joining the team this year with Day Chaser, that's going to be on your fire suit and your pit crew's fire suit for this year. So, you know, there's a lot of buzz and excitement with newness this year. Seems like a theme. So, you know, what's it like to bring in a new sponsor like them in the NASCAR and potentially introduce them to new fans who may not be aware of their brand?
Yeah, it's really cool. So that kind of, for me, to bring a sponsor like that into the sport and a brand like that into the sport is so neat. I wish we could have announced it sooner, because I enjoyed my fair share of Day Chaser at the Chili Bowl. But yeah, it's awesome. I'm really looking forward to that. Teaming up with them, definitely really enjoy the cranberry one. It's my favorite. So, we had a couple cases of those at Chili Bowl, and we came back with none. So they're definitely a good time, and cool to bring a new partner on board. It's really neat.
I'd say having a product that you can actually enjoy makes it even more authentic. And the fact that you finished it this past weekend, it sounds pretty convincing for the fans to give it a shot during the year as the season picks up. And, you know, speaking of this season that's coming up, you know, there's so much buzz about the new next-gen car, the new refit Atlanta Motor Speedway, and, of course, just the fact that you guys are going to have your first exhibition race in a football stadium, the LA Coliseum, hosting the Busch Light Clash. So, I mean, just, you know, what's your thoughts on being one of those key factors that will hopefully bring in new fans to the sport, like what NASCAR went through in 2001?
Yeah, there's so many things changing right now. It's pretty cool to watch. Atlanta is going to be really interesting. Obviously, I think, you know, a lot of drivers really enjoyed the old surface, but going to something new is exciting as well. So I haven't really talked to many people that were there for the test. So excited to kind of learn how that went. And then, you know, the Coliseum is going to be crazy. I can't wait to see that. You know, I ran the East race at Bowman Gray Stadium 10 years ago now, I guess it was. And the cars actually raced really well there. And obviously it's a extremely similar racetrack. So excited to see how that works out. Really interesting the process on how they built the track kind of as a temporary track on top of, I guess they put wood down underneath the asphalt, right? And then paved it or something like that. So so many interesting factors are going into that race, and to take a new race car there that we've never raced before on a type of racetrack that the Cup Series hasn't been to in a really long time, it's going to be really exciting. So I hope we pack the house and put on a great show for all the fans, because it's going to be wild for sure.
Wild is definitely a good way to describe it. I mean, just the fact that you'll have a lot of celebrities at the racetrack too, and a pretty good halftime performer at the track. I think that's going to be enticing as it is, to say the least. Now, when I talked to folks in the garage area about Hendrick Motorsports, the word family is used a lot. And I say it's pretty authentic to describing the team culture, but, you know, what's some of the principles of racing with Hendrick that you've embraced in your life professionally and personally?
I think the biggest thing is how well we work together as a team. I feel like all four teams communicate so well together. You know, everything's an open notebook, everything's shared. And I think that's why we have four teams that all won races last year. And, you know, four teams that were all in the playoffs and ran really strong each and every week. So just how that communication has grown over time since I've been there is really great. And I think, you know, is a key part of the success that we've had. And then, you know, just how Mr. H kind of leads the company, and now with Jeff Gordon taking on a bigger leadership role, just how they kind of approach things and lead things. I just try to learn from them and just be a sponge when they're around, right? Learn all I can. So it's been really cool to get to drive for Hendrick Motorsports. Is a dream come true, and you know, all aspects of it is awesome, but just how the leadership leads that company and how well the communication works is really the biggest takeaways that I have.
And you've been coming up pretty quickly on your sixth or seventh year now with the Hendrick organization, which doesn't feel like that, because I swear I was at New Hampshire when they announced you as the emergency driver for the 88 car at the time. But here we are, you're coming up on that milestone with Hendrick. So how do you perceive your evolution and journey, not only with Hendrick, but just being a race car driver?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I try to just do things that make me a better race car driver each and every week. So, or each and every day. So I've definitely, you know, recently I feel like changed my process a little bit just in trying to race more things. I'm going to race the sprint car a lot this year. Just trying to be in the seat as much as I possibly can and get out of my comfort zone. You know, I think driving that new Cup car is going to push a lot of us out of our comfort zones. You know, I feel like we all were to a point where we could drive the old car really hard and way over the limit and get away with a lot of things, whereas we're not going to be able to do that with the new car. So just trying to do things that get myself out of my comfort zone, trying to train as hard as I can and do things that make me better on Sundays. So I feel like I've gotten better and continue to improve each year, but definitely still want more.
Absolutely. I got a couple more questions here before we wrap things up. Now, I'm going to give you a fun question here. If you had to put yourself in my shoes as a journalist and you had to describe Alex Bowman, the race car driver, what three words would you choose and why?
That's always a tough one. I don't ever really like describing myself, but I feel like I'm pretty patient on the racetrack. I feel like I'm really impatient with things off the racetrack, but on the racetrack, I can be pretty patient. Feel like I'm typically pretty calculated. I don't know. Three is a lot. I don't know. I got two. Is that good enough?
We'll take two for now. I was gonna say probably not a fan of the snow that fell in the Charlotte area.
I love snow. Big oh, really? Fan of snow. Yeah, oh. Big snow fan. I would much like. I'd rather. Like mountains or beach, I'm going with mountains and like winter sports. So I'm a big fan of the snow. The only problem with the snow was I couldn't get home. So I was stuck in Tulsa because Charlotte Airport was closed. So that was kind of a bummer, but got home a day late. Wasn't too bad.
There you go. And hopefully had more of that day chaser beverage to kind of help with the delay there. But that's surprising to meet a NASCAR driver who loves snow. I was going to say, most of y'all don't like that, so that's a good little story right there. Now it's kind of a trite ending to the interview, but I'll have more fun questions asked for the end. You know, obviously I'm sure your expectations are to make the playoffs, win this year's championship, but I mean, this year's Daytona 500 just seems to have so much like pageantry in terms of everything that's going to be happening this year. So, you know, given the fact that your team and organization's having to come off this amazing year, how special would it be for you to win this year's Daytona 500?
I'd be pretty pumped if we just finished, to be honest with you. Over the last couple of years, the Speedway stuff has been pretty rough on us. But yeah, absolutely. I would love to win the Daytona 500, especially this year. Any year, I'll take it. But this year is the closest one, so I'm good with it. I think, you know, we're always fast at speedways. We're always up front. And then we typically crash. But, you know, if we can stay out of trouble, I know we'll have a shot at it. Obviously, it's going to look different this year with the new race car. Trying to understand what that's going to look like is going to be key. And just trying to do what we can to be up front of it.
And that was Alex Bowman, who was the subject of this week's Hot Seat interview. So wanted to thank Alex Bowman and his new PR rep, Jared Arneson, of Hendrick Motorsports for everything and making that interview possible for this podcast. And of course, on thepodiumfinish.net, you can read the full interview on there and get to see his new paint scheme and his new fire suit and his new partner, Day Chaser, that he will be having on hand when he wins a race, I'm sure. And that's not going to be something that's not familiar, but it's going to be a very frequent sighting, I'm sure. Well, unfortunately, folks, it's time to close another show. I feel like these shows go by so much quicker, and it's like a race that you don't want to have end, like watching at Watkins Glen or Phoenix. But hey, you know, that means you get to get ready for episode 15. But Nathan, you've been pretty busy this past week. You, of course, have been doing your recaps of playoff drivers and trucks and working your way to Xfinity. And you also did a piece about Austin Cindric as he prepares for his rookie season in Cup. But what are the things you have in the pipeline for TPF?
Yeah, I'd love to hopefully get out another Truck Series season in review this week. We also have a couple of recent Ford availabilities that we were sitting on, so hopefully get some features out there. I won't spoil anything, but maybe in a few days, be on the lookout for another feature from another Ford Performance driver. So that's basically what's on the docket for me this week. I got some other, of course, got some college basketball stuff I'm working on outside of TPF, college work, campus media stuff that I can't talk about yet on the air, but some cool stuff coming my way soon.
Yeah, no, those are going to be great to see. And I know exactly what you're talking about, but I will respect not spoiling what that article will be. But I'll just say it's going to be a good one for sure, like your Cindric article. As for me, I'm hoping to get my first journal entry out with a driver that I may have mentioned as one of the recurring drivers that we'll have for TPF this season. And I'm just working on getting a couple of other drivers. I won't spoil it yet either for the readers, but I'll just say just stay tuned. They may be familiar faces, but certainly going to have some fresh perspectives for us. And pretty much from there, we're really getting ready to get back on the radio airwaves on WSBU 88.3, the FM, the Buzz. So that will mean getting to do two different versions of TPF Live again once we get our schedule down. But otherwise, outside of TPF, I'm back in grad school, which is going to be very busy. And just going to do my best to balance my time before we wrap up the first part of spring semester 2022. And that would mean getting closer to my first race weekend of the year, which would be at the Circuit of the Americas for the NASCAR race weekend, praying that it's not going to rain and be cold. But we'll see. This is Texas. And right now, like I said, it's in the 40s as we're recording this show. And maybe Nathan's weather will come its way to Texas and he gets 80 degree weather, because that's just how things go in winter these days. But I'm not going to bore everyone about meteorology. We're here to talk about racing. We just did that on this excellent edition of TPF Live. So Nathan, thank you very much again for joining us here as my co-host. And hopefully we'll have other folks from TPF joining me and you for future episodes. And before I wrap up the show, I do want to mention that we're going to start having more TPF Twitter spaces, which, if you don't know, very quickly, that is a sort of live interaction you can have with me and other folks from the TPF team. The topics will be pretty much similar to what we do on the podcast, but a little bit more free-flowing in terms of interacting with you fans, whereas on the podcast and radio show, full disclosure, Nathan and I just record these in advance before they hit the platforms on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or with the radio show, you hear those typically during the week. So if you have time to join me, I will be doing these during the season. I will, of course, mention the dates. And in fact, as we're recording the show, before I hop off with Nathan, I will be actually doing a Twitter Spaces session actually after the show. So when I say after the show, I mean the recording. So join me on there when I do tweet about it, and maybe we'll have some surprise guests. Nothing like racing spaces with Alanis King and Bozzy. I don't know if we can ever be that big yet, but I like to shoot for the stars and have a little fun with you fans. So join me on those, because we'll have a lot of interesting things to talk about on those, just like we do on TPF Live, which we're going to wrap up right now. So for Nathan Solomon and Alex Bowman, this is Rob Tiongson signing off for TPF Live. Thanks for joining us, folks. Until next time, let's go get that checkered flag. So long, everybody.